You know Tim Dooner from What the Truck. You know him for his big personality, but most importantly, you know him for the stories about the people in the freight world that he brings you. And I'm very excited to get to hear a little bit more from him about how this year really impacted the people in the freight space. And Bill Priestley got to sit down with him and with JP Hampstead to talk a little bit about what 2023 meant to the people in freight.
All right, thank you very much. We have a very special pair of guests here, JP Hampstead and Tim Dooner, of course, a strategic analyst and host of What the Truck here. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us. Happy holidays, Bill.
Happy holidays. Yes,
thanks for having us.
It's been a very, very interesting year, to say the least. And I wanted to start off by asking, Webster's Dictionary every year does a word of the year, and this year's word is authentic. With that in mind, when it comes to the freight industry, what would be your word of the year? JP?
I think my word of the year is rates. We've been obsessing over trucking rates all year. We've been talking about interest rates, what the Fed is going to do, reading the tea leaves of the data about rate of change, what's going to happen next. That's my word of the year.
Okay.
So if this was last year, I'd say freight recession, but you said freight, and I feel like a lot of what we've been feeling since March, April of 2022 is bled into the economy. So my word of the year is vibe session. It's confused all the economists. They apparently don't grocery shop. They're apparently too affluent to feel it. They seem completely confused about why Americans don't feel great about the economy when their restaurant bill is up 27%, when their Publix bill is up 25%, and they don't have as much money. So my word's vibe session, and I think that all of us with boots on the ground feel it.
That's definitely true there as well. So Tim, one of the things that we do on Freight Week, we play a lot with numbers, we play a lot with facts. You play a lot with the emotions and the kind of psychology of the freight industry. Given that vibe, part of half of your word of the year, what are you kind of hearing? What are you feeling within the freight industry in terms of how we've gotten through this year to this point?
You know, obviously it's been a very challenging year. Unlike during the pandemic, when like you'd go on LinkedIn and you'd see all your friends switching jobs left and right, and it was really rapid. Now, you know, we have a bankruptcy tab on FreightWaves. You're hearing about 3,000 layoffs, 3,700 layoffs, 1,500 layoffs. You're seeing people with the open for work green thing all over LinkedIn. And I think like when we talk about the psychology, I think that's what a lot of us see. And I think that our ear is closer to the track because we have felt it in the freight industry. So our businesses were hit first by this and we've had to sustain longer in it. And you know, the one thing they say about freight is usually we'll see the recovery first. So we'll see the downfall first, we'll see the recovery. So that may be some good news. Most people I talk to, and I think that they just want to have something to say, like slightly positive. They're like, definitely not first quarter next year, but like maybe third quarter. However, JP, people were saying that to me last year too. They're like, maybe third, fourth quarter, maybe first. And everyone keeps pushing that timeline. So I think nobody feels that great. I was actually talking to a venture-backed company yesterday and we got into the topic of the struggles that are going on there. And obviously Convoy came up and all that. And they were feeling it too. I think there's a lot of companies that are really nervous. And I think next year's still going to be pretty bad. I don't think we've seen the last of this at all for companies shutting down, layoffs or anything. I don't think just because the calendar changed, that changes any of the dynamics that are occurring.
JP, from a corporate perspective, we don't get a really chance to go out and get it, but F3, Future Supply Chain, you did get a chance to kind of interact with people in the industry. What is your feeling about what's going on out there?
Yeah, I think that in terms of like sentiment going forward and a potential recovery, I think that carriers will benefit first from the tightening. I think that brokers will actually feel that as a pinch, as a squeeze on their margins. As we know, there's still big brokers out there looking for financing, looking for lenders, looking for any kind of liquidity they can find in capital markets right now. It's hard to come by, even for brand names, people, operations that have a really great reputation and have been really stable over the years. So I think there's probably still some more pain to come, but I think in terms of the overall capacity cycle, things are improving.
Yeah.
We'll have a really good sense. I think we'll have a really good sense, Dooner, February to March.
Are you bullish on 2024 or not, JP?
I am bullish on 2024. I think it's going to be better than 2023, which isn't saying much, yeah. But I think in February and March, once the current freight that's being put out to contract bid comes online, we'll have a much better read on like sort of where the market is resetting.
Yeah.
So we've always had a number of really big stories throughout the year, but I wanted to get you guys' take, and JP, you can go first here, in terms of kind of the stories that made the biggest impact on you this particular year.
Yeah, I think one of them certainly, you know, almost kicking off the year on February 8th, the derailment of the Norfolk Southern train in East Palestine, Ohio. You know, it spilled. I think there were like 51 derailed cars, 11 of them tankers, 100,000 gallons of chemicals, including like vinyl chloride and some really nasty stuff that burned. Ultimately, 43,000 animals dying, including people's pets, as far as 10 miles away. Norfolk Southern ended up pledging more than $34 million in compensation and support, paying for the EPA cleanup. It's ongoing, but I think it kind of highlighted, this was sort of the end of a really harsh precision scheduled railroading cutting cycle, where they were cutting costs, cutting maintenance crews, not replacing trackage, not replacing temperature sensors on tracks, which may have been, you know, kind of the root cause of this derailment. And it kind of woke up a lot of the regulators and broader industry that, hey, maybe we were cutting all this fat, maybe we cut into the bone, and it's time to, you know, make some more investments in infrastructure and safety.
Tim, was there a story that really kind of spoke or got to you?
Yeah, you know, I was doing the What the Truck newsletter yesterday, and I was going through our analytics on what the audience picked by most listens and most views were the top shows that we produced this year. And it was all Yellow and Convoy. And I think what people have to understand, especially in my position, is I know so many people at these companies, like at Convoy, from the founder down, from their marketing team. I know them. Like, I talk to them all the time. I interact with them. Yellow, when we were doing the Yellow story, that really hit home because we brought a few of their drivers on. We brought one on the union side, one that wasn't on the union side. And you could really hear the pain in their voice. And, you know, I'm always looking for like the clips on TikTok of everyone talking. And you could really feel both resonate. And they were both massive, you know, largest trucking bankruptcy in history and largest venture-backed collapse in freight history. Not the largest venture-backed total, but at least in our space, the largest one. And I think it's really hard for me to call to anything other than those two because of how many employees they impacted, how many companies they impacted, and how many people I personally know that it impacted.
Well, a couple of years, actually last year, I got a chance to talk with a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, we had a great conversation. And one of the things I asked him was, and this is at the height of, you know, volumes were huge through the roof and so forth. And I said, did we paradigm shift at all, perhaps from pre-pandemic to then? And he said, he had to think about it for a second. He said, I don't think so. But let me ask you this. In terms of where we were pre-pandemic to post-recession, if we can get through that, and do you think the freight universe is any different after we get through this, or in terms of comparing those two particular time periods?
And, you know, I think that naturally the survivors, right? And, you know, the social Darwinism of corporatism and the social Darwinism of the freight tech scene, you're going to see the companies that are actually delivering value to customers. Like, they're still doing okay. They're still making it through as long as they didn't overextend themselves, as long as they didn't go in and get too high of a valuation that has trapped them, which is tough if you raise money in 2021. A lot of those companies are very stuck because of how inflated those valuations were. But I talked to a lot of venture capitalists too, and a lot of them, you know, they're looking at what's going on in the market right now, and they're seeing a lot of value appear. Now, that may not be great for the investors on one side, but there's a lot of companies that are looking in and they're seeing like, hey, these are good ideas. Maybe they're not valued properly, but maybe it's a good time to acquire and a good time to pick up. And I think we'll see some decent M&A next year when valuations get more comfortable for people. And I think that the change and shift that we've seen, I don't know, this is freight. Will we do anything different? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like a resetting of like expectations and maybe some of the animal spirits from 2021 when people were investing in crazy things and doing crazy things. I think that the software companies that are coming out now, you know, are really focused on how can we, you know, either help you make money or help you save money, sort of laser focused on return on investment, you know, for their customers and things like that. But yeah, I think I agree with Dooner that it's more of a shaving off of excess rather than like a fundamental transformation. I think that founders that get exits when this, you know, hypothetical wave of MMA takes place will continue to write checks into smaller companies. The investors that specialize in our space know how to you know, add value to these founders. They know what they're looking for now. And I think in a much more intelligent way. There's less tourism in VC. Yeah. The overall amount of funding has gone down a lot. But the players that have been really the best partners behind the best companies are still here and still writing checks.
You brought up M&A as one of the storylines of the year. We've had two, at least, that have affected, or at least we've shown a lot of light to. One, of course, was U.S. Express being acquired there by Knight-Swift. The other, of course, as we're speaking, is still in court with Forward Air and Omni. Looking at that, I mean, we had a lot of acquisitions this year in terms of trying to get through it. How do you look at that as possibly continuing into 2024 as well?
I think we'll see more. I think actually 2024 will be a more active year in M&A acquisitions. And I think investments are going to pick up. And I think that, like, to go to that last topic that we had on, I think the mistake that VCs will make is they'll pour too much money into AI solutions in supply chain that have no market fit. I'm not saying that AI itself doesn't, but I think that there's some solutions that even I've seen so far out there that I'm like, why?
Like, yeah. And there's like nice to haves. And then again, there's the ones that you can demonstrate, hey, if you spend, you know, $40,000 on an annual contract for this product, you will get this amount of money. Like, I think a lot of software companies this year have been under pressure to make that case to their customers.
You know, I talked to a venture group yesterday. They called me up and they just wanted a little consulting on something. And they were talking about the EV space. And they're like, you know, we liked companies like Hylion. And he even brought up Edison Motors, Chase, who's making like a much smaller sort of truck. And he's like, if you had our money, where would you invest right now? And I'm like, man, the EV truck space is really tough because the range is so short on a lot of these. So I think we're going to see more losses in there. AV is a tough road. It's mostly down to like Kodiak and Torque now. I think a lot of that future tech, it still has a much longer road to get to. And some of those are going to burn out. But I think 2024 will be an exciting year. And I think I'm with JP that I think that we're going to get more used to the abuse and the psychology will change and we'll realize that the normalization sort of is what we have to realize is what the market is now. And we have to grow from there.
Yeah. This past venture cycle, especially, was really when like Freightech was born in terms of like significant amounts of money coming into it since about 2016. So it's a, you know, first generation of VC backed founders, lots of lessons learned, lots of, you know, senior employees, members of founding teams that will go on to do great things. But I think that especially if interest rates get cut, as Jerome Powell now thinks they will next year, that will definitely help MMA. It makes debt cheaper when you're buying companies. One thing I think that will be interesting to watch is whenever there are like sort of shifts in the market or weird years, if you have like a bad year followed by a good year, sometimes that makes it hard to decide what a company's really worth, right? Trailing 12 months? Do you look at forward 12 months? Do you look, you know, like, does the owner of the company want to hold on to it longer because things are going so well? You know, that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see sort of where the bid-ask spread comes in and how buyers and sellers negotiate that.
Real quick before we get out of here, in terms of this time next year, 12 months from now, how much better do you think we're going to feel about ourselves if we do feel better?
But 22.3%. That's my prediction.
JP?
I mean, that's, yeah. That's,
you know, 22.75%?
Yeah. I think I'll probably feel better than 22.75%. I think I'm going for like 50% better.
All right. 50%. Yeah. You heard it here.
He's bullish.
I know. And I'm the one with the Santa coat. I should be more positive.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
We will take a short break and come back with more.
Y'all in 24.
Yep.